I don't have to cross it by myself, but the Lord will be there. There's a light on the other end of the tunnel. I want to thank Him for that today and praise His wonderful, wonderful name for being good to me here in the land of the living. I could be in hell today, but the Lord has shown great mercy, and He has been very patient, very kind, and I want to thank His wonderful name for that. Well, I'm going to tell you something I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to preach to you out of the Song of Solomon. This message has been on my heart for several days in Mexico. I tried to preach it down there and couldn't find any liberty to do it. And I started preparing. I was going to preach to you out of Daniel in the lion's den this morning. And I couldn't get any liberty about that. So I went to this message, and I feel like God has given me peace about preaching it. Somebody said, "Well, we've heard it before, Brother Hall. You might hear it again." Amen. And we might hear it again and again and again. Never know what God might do. And so I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible to chapter 2 of Solomon's Song this morning. Solomon and chapter number 2. Now, I'll be honest, this message I'm preaching, when I preached to it, didn't hit a whole lot. But I'm going to preach it again today anyhow. And I think that it's needful for the church and needful for the hour that we're living in. And I'm trusting God to do something with it. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse number 16 and 17. And when you find that place, let's stand together, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Verse number 16, the Bible said, "My beloved is mine, and I'm his. He feedeth among the lilies until the day break, and the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether." Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful for this another day in the Lord's house. Another privilege to open the Word of God. Another opportunity to sing the hymns of faith. God, another glorious time that we can assemble and worship our God in spirit and in truth. Lord, I pray for Your divine presence this morning. Without You, we can absolutely do nothing. I pray that You would grace our hearts with Your love and mercy. And Lord, that Your presence and glory would fill this place today. May our hearts be turned upward. And Lord, may we today set our affection upon Thee. I do pray that You'll help me to preach the Word of God, and Lord, that sinners would be saved, and God, Your people would be revived and blessed and helped and stirred, and Your precious name would be glorified in our midst. I pray for the needs that we have in the church this morning. Lord, for the sickness, for the afflictions, for the troubles and the trials. And I pray, oh God, that You'd look upon us with mercy and show pity to Your people and do a great work for us. And we'll thank You and we'll praise You for doing it. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse number 17 is what I want to try to bring a little thought on this morning, and I'll not keep you long. But Solomon says, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. That word, Bether, means division. And I want to preach for a little while this morning on some mountains of division. Some things that we will allow to creep into our lives that will separate us from our God. And you know, Isaiah said in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, that our sins have separated between us and our God, and our iniquities have hid His face from us. And so there are some things that can creep into our life that will separate us from our God. And to us, they may be mountains, but I want to remind you that so many times we'll make a mountain out of a molehill. The Lord is here upon the mountains of Bether, and He will walk upon any problem that you and I may ever encounter in life. But in the verse here before us this morning, it appears that the bride is living in the shadows. Now, I want to say that I'm glad that standing somewhere, there in the shadows, we will find the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not God's will for us to dwell or to live in the shadows. God wants us to live in the full light of the love of God. He wants us to come to a perfect man. He wants us to have understanding. God wants us to dwell in the sunlight. Nobody ought to dwell in the dark shadows all their life, but God wants us to walk in the sunlight of His love. You know, church, I learned a long time ago, if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light, we can have fellowship one with another. That is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But, brother, we're going to have to walk in the light that God gives us. If we ever reject that light and refuse that light, that is, if we refuse to go any further with God than what He tries to lead us, He'll leave us behind and we'll find ourselves living or dwelling in the shadows. And so that's where we find this church, is living, abiding in the shadows rather than in the sunlight of God's love. Now, the Bible says that these shadows are cast from the mountains that apparently stand between the bride and her beloved. Now, if the church is standing in the shadows of those mountains, it leads me to believe that she is dwelling in the valley. You know, the valley can be a blessed place. The valley is a learning place. He is the lily of the valley. I'm glad that we can learn some things in the valley experience. But thanks be unto God, He doesn't always want us in the valley. If you was to read the book of Matthew chapter 17, you'd find that He took Peter, James, and John up on the mountaintop, and it was there that He revealed all His glory unto them. And that voice came out of heaven that said, "This is My beloved Son, hear ye Him." And it was on the mountaintop that the glory of God came down. I tell you, we can learn in the valley, but there's glory on the mountaintop. And God doesn't want us always walking in the valley. He wants to elevate us and occasionally let us enjoy that mountaintop experience. Buddy, I'm telling you, I like to get under the glory spout where the glory runs out. Say amen right there. The valley is all right, my friend, but every now and then I like the glory to come down and heaven to fill my soul. I like to be elevated to a higher plane. I enjoy being lifted up in my soul in the presence of God and enjoy the glory of God. I don't like to come to church and sit like a zombie. I don't like to come to the house of God with my spirit cast down. I don't enjoy living all the time discouraged and cast down. But it is my desire to come to church and meet with the Lord, my friend, and let His glory fill my soul where I can praise Him and rejoice in Him and worship Him in spirit and truth for what He has done in my life. I want to thank Him this morning for what He's done. He saved me by His marvelous grace. He lifted me up also out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock, and He's established my going, and I want to praise Him for that in the morning hour. And so, these mountains have cast a shadow. And if they've cast a shadow, then it tells me that this little bride is living in the valley. Now, her being in this valley, she prays to her beloved to turn and to be as a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. That is, upon the mountains of division. And she realizes that those mountains have separated between her and between her God. But she also realizes that she can't get out of the valley on her own. Now, I want to say, my friend, that's true in your life and in my life. It's going to take the grace of God and the help of our Lord Jesus to get us out of the valley. Somebody said, "Preacher, I'm not living in a valley." You're dumber than I thought you were. Amen to God. A blind man, my friend, or a deaf man would wouldn't have to spend long at Island Ford Baptist Church to realize that there's some mountain somewhere in our lives that have separated between us and our God and put us in a low spirit down yonder in the valley, my friend. The valley that has separated us between our God. Amen. I know that's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You can't get out of the valley on your own. Some of y'all have drug around and drug around and drug around for God only knows how long. And you ain't going to get out of this situation on your own. Oh, I know what the Bible said about David. David encouraged himself in the Lord. But I remind you that David was a man after God's own heart. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was anointed by the Holy Ghost and wrote many of the Psalms in the Word of God. And David fought the giant. And David fought the lion. And David fought the bear. But I don't see too many Davids in our society today. And I don't see too many people that have a desire to encourage their self in the Lord. But I'm telling you, our discouragement and our valleys will be overcome by the grace of God when we turn to Him like the bride did and call upon His name and plead for His divine and holy presence in her life. When she said, turn and be like a young roe or a hart upon the mountains of Bether, she was saying, I desire Your presence. I've got to have You. I need You. At His right hand, in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, there are blessings forevermore. Now I'm telling you, my friend, without Him, we can do nothing. We're going to have to learn if we're going to go on with God and get out of the rut that we're living in. We're going to have to realize that we can only get there by His divine presence. It is by His power. It is by His Spirit. It's not by our power. It's not by our strength. It's not within ourselves. But it'll have to be by the power and the presence of a holy God to lift us out of the despondency and despair that we're in. I'm beginning to wonder if it's rather might be a delight for the world than it is despondency and despair. It's got some of us where we're at. I wonder if some of us ain't got real satisfied where we're living. Amen to God. Got a real delight for some other things, some other interests. I'm going to ask you this morning, has other interests in life crept in between you and your God? That's divided between you and Him. He shall have no other gods before Him, friend. It doesn't make any difference whether it's an idol like we saw in Mexico or whether it's possessions and materialism in America. He will have no other gods before Him. And He'll only bless and help those that have a desire in their heart for Him. I don't know about you this morning, but I desire Him. I want Him. Hallelujah to God. I want to say I love Him because He first loved me. And I can't live without Him. I don't want to live without Him. And I don't intend to live without Him this morning. Amen. Amen. This outfit needs to go to Mexico, all of you. Amen. Get a little break. See reality of life. Right. You know, we were sitting down there one night and we heard something going boom. 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 I thought we'd been attacked by the militia. Somebody asked Brother Bill, said, what is that? He said, they're setting off firecrackers, big ones, like a cherry bomb. And I said, what in the world are they doing that for? He said, well, they're scaring off the evil spirits. I thought, my, how pagan can people get to believe that a little cherry bomb will scare off the devil? Cherry bombs ain't going to scare off the devil. And cherry bombs ain't going to bring the Lord. I'm going to tell you what will. Our bended knee and our broken heart and our contrite spirit and a desire to have Him, my friend. We get Him in our presence. The devil will have to flee from us. Amen to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Hallelujah. And if he flees from us, it'll be because God shows up on the scene. Oh, yes, and drives him from our midst. And the Spirit likewise grants us some real liberty in God. Amen to the Lord. I want you to notice the position of our Lord here. He is not in the valley. He is never in the valley. And some of y'all say, some of y'all's in the valley this morning. You know what I thought about doing this morning? I thought about getting up here and sitting for about 45 minutes like I've seen some of you sit. He's not in the valley. No, sir, he is not in that valley this morning. No, and he's not on the far side of the mountain. But the Bible said that he's on top of those mountains. Now, I'm going to tell you, those mountains that separate between you and your God, he's not on the other side of them. He's not in the valley, but he is walking on top of those mountains. I'm glad that he walks on the waves of the water. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad that he walks on top of the mountains. I'm glad that he can take the mountains and make them low and take the valley and exalt every valley and let you and I walk on level ground for the glory of God. Those little old problems of yours that you've turned into a mountain ain't nothing but a molehill. Jesus is walking on top of them. When the waves are over our head, thank God they're under His feet. Praise God, and He can stamp that little old mountain as low as He wants to stomp it. In fact, He can stomp your mountain into powder. He can grind up your difficulties and grind up your troubles and stomp them into powder this morning. That's how great our God is. Amen. The Bible said in Luke 3:5, said every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. And He does that because our beloved can take the mountains and fill the valleys. And that's right. And provide level and smooth and straight ground for you and I to walk upon. Amen. He'll make our pathways straight. He'll make our pathways bright if we'll turn to Him and trust God for that. I know that is absolutely right. Amen. I want to mention some mountains. I want to mention some mountains, I think, in this church this morning that have separated between you and your God and got you in the pitiful shape you're in. Church, I love you. But some of you is in pitiful spiritual shape. Your hearts, I've never seen folks so spiritually low as what I see folks in this church. That's right. I mean, some of you act like you have never got an ounce of joy about you in the world. And I'm honest, I love you. And I love you, but I'm telling you, there's some things in some of you's life that you're going to have to grab a hold of and get victory over. I'll tell you, buddy, we'll never have God in power around this place. Amen. Hang with me now. Buckle her down. We're going to preach a little while to you, Lord, being our helper. I will say one of the mountains that you can have this morning is a doubtful mind. God doesn't want us to have a doubtful mind. Oh, I know somebody said doubting is healthy for you. I don't know where we ever get the fact that doubting God is ever helpful for us. Can be helpful to us. Oh, no. In Him is all yea, and there is no nay in our God. Why should we doubt anything that God does for you and I? Why should we doubt anything He says? Why should we doubt anything He does? Why should He doubt any place that He takes us to? Why should we doubt anything that God does for you and I? Amen to God. In Luke chapter number 12, He talks about those anxieties of life that we have and how we doubt what God is doing for us. And we fail to trust God like we ought to. And he mentions the ravens that he feeds and the lilies of the valley and all of their glory. And he talks about the grass of the field being clothed with more glory than what Solomon was clothed with. And then he made this statement in verse number 29. He said, "And seek not ye that what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind." That's right. God wants us to come to a full assurance of faith. You better read the book of Hebrews, buddy. He wants us to draw near with a full assurance of faith. Not come with a doubtful mind. I'll guarantee you, friend, nobody that's ever doubted God has ever received anything from Him. For they that come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And there is no place in that Bible for you and I to doubt anything that God does. That's right. Here the Lord said, hey, said you're worried about the clothes on your back, and you're worried about the food that you eat, and there's a whole lot more in life than food and raiment. But that's God's way of saying you better forget about materialism and set your affection upon God. Quit worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. He said, hey, the birds out there, he said, they don't sow and they don't reap, but my heavenly Father will supply for them. And he said, the grass of the field, he said, though it's arrayed in more glory than Solomon, shall be cut down. But he said, I'm telling you, it had more glory on it than what Solomon had. And I'm telling you, we're worried about many things and anxious about many things and doubtful about many things until we've allowed those things to become a mountain in our life that's separated between us and our God. Amen. A doubtful mind. Some of you doubt His watch care. Huh? Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Will God really supply my need? Will God take care of me? Americans today working three or four jobs. Working three or four jobs in order to try to make ends meet rather than putting their trust in God. I won't charge you a thing for that. Working on the Lord's day rather than putting their faith in Almighty God. I say this in love, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but if I was working on a job that deprived me continually from the house of God, I'd choke that egg-sucking mess and pick up pop bottles if I had to and trust God a little bit in my life. You can say amen or oh me, buddy. You can't lay out of the house of God, be unfaithful to the house of God, and receive from the house of God, nor can you have a real faith that will cause you, my friend. Oh, yes, that will bring a mountain between you and your God. Doubting His watch care. Preacher Hall, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. I went off to Bible college and worked on a job about 30 hours a week, made minimum wage, and paid for myself, full-time, my wife part-time, and three kids through school, and paid my tuition to do it. Wonder what happened around here if we started tuition for the kids in the back. Could we really trust God for $90 to $150 bucks a month per child for the school? I won't charge you a thing. Hey, what are you saying, brother? I'm saying that we doubt the ability of God to provide in our life. If we cannot tangibly make it with our own hands, we will not trust God to supply the need for us. Are you listening to me? Yes. Buddy, He will. His provisions. Amen. He said, how much more are you better than the fowls of the air? Amen. God will provide for us. Amen. Better believe He will. That doubtful mind. I want to say secondly, not only doubting God's watch care, but doubting God's love. Doubting God's wonderful, wonderful love. Man, I'm telling you, if we could ever get a hold of how much He loves us, brother, it would turn our lives around. Hey, we're not stepchildren. I'm glad that I am not a bastard this morning, and I say that without vulgarity. I'm not a bastard this morning. I'm God's wonderful child. You better believe I am. But hey! And He said in the Word of God that if we as fathers fail to provide for our own children, that we've denied the faith and become worse than an infidel. And if God, my friend, would tell that about you and I, you know God will provide. You know God loves us and will provide for us. Oh, if we could ever get a hold of that wonderful love, for the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the gift of the Holy Ghost. What great love. But God, who is rich in mercy with His great love, wherewith He loved us, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, He died for the ungodly. What wonderful, wonderful, marvelous love. Enough love to convert me. Enough love to correct me. Enough love to chastise me. Enough love to raise me in the nurture and the admonition of Himself. I'm glad that He's my Father and I'm His Son this morning. Why should I doubt the good love of God? He's lifted me up out of the quagmires of sin when I was lost. Got me off of a bar stool when I was lost. Loved me when I was lost. Why should I doubt that love now that I'm God's eternal child? I want to say thirdly, doubting God's Word. He said in verse 32 of that parable, He said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give to you the kingdom." I wonder how many of you really doubt the Word of God. I'm talking about believing this is the Bible. That it's not just a book. It is not a storybook. It is the God-breathed, infallible, inerrant, blessed Word of God. And there is not a mistake in it. God says what He meant, and God meant what He said. We can take God at face value in a King James 1611 Bible. Yes, sir, this crowd around us trying to find a Bible they can understand, picking up the NIVs and RVs, because they can't understand the Bible. I'm going to tell you why they can't, because a natural man receiveth not the things of God. I don't find no fault in that old King James 1611. I'm not going to doubt it, buddy. I may not understand it, but I believe it. Somebody said, "Preacher, I can't believe something I can't understand." You can't? Does everybody in here understand how a diesel engine works? I don't either. I don't understand it, but I believe it does. Be like that fella came over to help Brother Doug Thompson that day. Told Doug's bus was broke down. He got to him and said, "I'm a mechanic." Said, "I can get this bus running." Brother Doug said, "Is that right?" Said, "Where are you working?" He said, "Right here in town." He said, "Well, what do you work on?" He said, "Weed eaters." I don't think a fella works on weed eaters have much sense, have much ability to tear into a diesel engine and come in a diesel engine. I wouldn't. I don't understand how that thing has internal combustion and makes it roll down the road. But I got enough sense to believe if you step on the accelerator pedal and put it in gear and let out on the clutch, you'll roll. Amen. And I don't understand everything about the Spirit of God. But I've got enough sense to know if you put Him in gear and step down on the accelerator and let out on the clutch, son, He'll run for you for the glory of God. Believe that book. Believe that book. Amen. I've got several things to cover, so I'm going to have to hurry now. Doubtful mind. I'm going to tell you the second thing. Second mountain is deficient faith. You know, the Lord's disciples asked Him, said, increase our faith. And I'm going to tell you, they had enough sense to know that a lack of faith couldn't get them very far in the service of God. Amen. And it can't get you very far in the service of God. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, we need to believe God for big things. Amen. That's right. It's time that we got out of the sand, off of the beach, and got out in the water and quit playing with God with little things here and there and toying with God. And failing to trust Him. Oh, God, hey, I'm telling you, that deficient faith, that little bit of faith, will become a mountain in your life, and you'll fail to believe God even for the very essentials of life. Brother Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:19, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. That is, they put away their conscience. They pushed it aside. They rejected it. They rejected the perception of knowledge. Now, I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I wonder how many folks in America have done that today. We have put away the perception of knowledge in our life and decided that we've arrived and all we need is what we had from God. God have mercy on us. To think that our little bit of faith that we've got is all we need. Well, Brother Hall, we praise God. We prayed and had a good marathon. Well, Brother Hall, we prayed and had a good mission conference. Well, Brother Hall, we prayed and sing this and sing that. Wonder how many times we prayed and seen sinners saved. How many sinners are we seeing saved today? Oh, Brother Hall, we're in the gleaning season. Hogwash. We might be in a gleaning season, but son, I ain't found no corn in our row lately. Huh? That's right. I wonder if we've got enough faith. I'm going to tell our problem. We have just put away our conscience. This is as far as I need to go with God. Amen. What's some of y'all looking so puzzled? Huh? Son, you ought to reach for the mountain. Amen. Get out of the valley. We're in the shadows. Leave God for our loved ones. Somebody told me they saw somebody we all know up at Walmart the other day wearing a pair of short shorts. had varicose veins in her legs, looked like a road map. Hey, it's time we woke up and realized folks like that's lost, friend. They need to be saved. We need to stop playing games and believe God for something. Hey, oh yes, me and my forehead, no more, Brother Hall. We'll go on. Amen. Men shipwreck because they get off course. Men shipwreck because they fail to sail too close to the shoreline. Amen. And I'm afraid that some of you have got off course. We'll go on. Deteriorate in love. Revelation 2:4. The Bible said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Not leave it little by little, but not leave it all at once, but little by little. Can I say something to you that I love this morning? I've noticed some of you folks in here that you all play with babies and things. When we come to church more, you're interested in serving God, worshiping God. Sit and laugh and giggle and play with kids. And we've come to worship God. Boy, I love them, Brother Hall. Then if you love them, my friend, you better get your heart in a place where God can bless you. Amen. Or God knows how to remove that which is a hindrance in your life. I know some of you don't like that. But I'm going to tell you right now, it'd be better for God to remove that child as a hindrance in your life and take it on to heaven than it would be to let you raise that child the way you're raising it and let it grow up a rebel. And that's exactly how it'll be raised. I love you. Say amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all have let your children come between you and the fellowship of the church.
Amen.
Come on in the house, boys and girls. I'm telling you, that which deprives us of our fellowship with one another and fellowship with God is not of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you that this morning.
Amen.
We wonder why we can't have God in the church house. I won't charge you. I tried to preach to you good and you won't let me. Huh? Somebody said, don't lie. I don't care whether you like it or not. I'm telling you a fact for your own benefit and good. God can take that, friend, which He has made a blessing out of your life if you don't learn to use it for the glory of God.
Amen.
Come on in the house. You hold, Brother Robert. I'm going to skin a while.
Amen.
Some of y'all, your kids could break its neck and you wouldn't call the pastor.
Right.
I've been gone for 2 weeks and some of y'all didn't even speak to me when I come in this morning.
Amen.
I'm on the house, boys and girls. Like that heifer said on the radio at night, let's get real.
Amen.
If there's a problem, son, let's get real. Bring me to my third point, not only deteriorating love, but a disgruntled spirit, my friend, is like a mountain between you and your God. It'll dry up your heart, dry up your love, dry up your fellowship, dry up your prayer life, dry up your worship in the house of God, and it will run God from the house of God. That old disgruntled spirit. Amen. I'm going to be honest with you. When folks quit speaking to me, I got a feeling they got a problem with me. When people won't talk to me, I get a problem, bro. Somebody said, you've got an inferior complex, Five. I've had a long time. This time we woke up and realized that our disgruntled spirit, our sour attitude, and our standoffish attitude of mind is run God from this church.
Amen.
And is depriving the handful of people in here that want something from having something.
Amen.
Some of you won't come to choir practice, won't let your kids sing in the choir.
Amen.
You think that I've not been private of that mess, son? Hey, come on in, let's get real.
Amen.
I'm talking about some things that's depriving us from the presence of God.
Amen.
That old disgruntled spirit, critical spirit. Disgruntled spirit.
Amen.
Deteriorating love, dilapidated prayer life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. A prayer life that's lost is hard to get back. It is hard to get back. You know what it talks about in chapter number 11 of the book of Luke? That man that came to his friend's house at midnight and wanted some bread, five loaves, wanted a little bit of bread because a stranger had come to his house. 12 o'clock at night, and he was praying to his neighbor for bread. I'm going to tell you something. Your prayer life will inconvenience you. Somebody said, "Preacher, I live a long way from the church, and it's a great inconvenience for me to come to church on Saturday night and pray." Prayer life will inconvenience you. It really will. I had to get to hunting down in Mexico, folks. Someplace to pray. I mean, you're in a room with about a 12-foot square, and you got about 12, 14 people living in it. And you're trying to read your Bible and pray. I wouldn't stay there long until I had to find me a place out back in the weeds if necessary. I thought about going out to that horrible pit, but I decided against that too. And I'm telling you, I can't go very long without prayer. I read a sign one time that said 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. And it does. That dilapidated prayer life. A dejected heart. What about little Hagar? Poor little old Hagar went out from Sarah, sat down, and wept. I'm going to tell you, hey, folks feel dejected. We got a letter from the Frasers. They might be listening. I hope they are. They said the reason they left the church because I didn't give them $40 one time when they asked me to borrow $40 from them. They said they asked me the Sunday before I went to Mexico. I didn't know they was here that Sunday. Are you listening to me? Said that 4 or 5 of the women in the church that they had tried to buddy up with and they couldn't get nobody to speak to them. Apparently they feel dejected in their heart. You see what? That's a dejected spirit, what it's done. If I've done anything wrong to them, I sure am sorry. I didn't think I had. I've given them money and food and tried to help them. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can feel dejected in your heart over little things, over invalid reasons. And if you ain't careful, you'll find yourself in a valley with your Lord upon the mountaintop and you abiding in the shadows of that mountain rather than abiding in the presence of God. I will say also, disagreements in the home can become put you in the valley. Disappointments in life. Discord in the house of God. Mountains of division. Things that can divide you and your Lord. Let's stand together. Father, I'm thankful for the day and your grace, your love, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray that you'll help today, help our hearts. Lord, that you'll heal our hearts. You'll strengthen our faith. Strengthen our prayer life. And give us victory and revival. That we might walk with thee, seeing the lost come to know you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What page is that, Brother George? 307. Page 307. Page 307, please. Let him have his way with thee. One more verse.
Given us.